Well, the Eagles have ruled the world one time in the Super Bowl era, and that was 2017. Of course, three other times in their history winning a championship, 48, 49, and 60. This one feels like a long, long way away. Now, the crazy thing is they got a good shot at the playoffs. Division's open, three wildcard teams. I mean, they certainly can find their way into the postseason. But, man, to actually be elite, they got to play a lot better than this. All right, for more on the Birds, we turn to one of the great Eagles players of all time. Seth Joyner with us every single Monday in studio for an entire hour, fielding your phone call and offering his phenomenal expert analysis. He's always brought to us by Bradford White Water Heaters. How you heat your water matters. So whether it's a tank or tankless model, choose Bradford White. Visit BradfordWhite.com. All right, Mr. Joyner, I could ask you 15 different first questions. I'm just going to say this. Sir, the floor is yours. Your reaction to anything and everything from yesterday.
Let me see. Where do I start? Listen, I'm going to tell you this. I didn't get up in time enough to actually listen to you guys. A lot of the times I'll pull up 15 minutes early and just sit out and listen to what you guys are talking about.
We've talked more about Sirianni than the game.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
How about this? Why did Nick think that was okay yesterday, what he did?
I think Nick is overly emotional, and I think his emotions get the best of him at time. And, John, I would venture to say if that was you and me and the fans were cheering, fire Nick, fire Nick, fire Nick, it might have been difficult for us to hold our emotions in that minute.
Yeah.
Just because I know what it is to be on the field and have someone poke the bear, and you know that you're going to get a 15-yarder when you retaliate. But there's this something inside you that won't let you, it won't allow you to exercise common sense.
It's a good analogy.
I'm just being real. I'm not trying to justify what he did.
He's just got to be smarter than that. He, as the head coach, has to be above that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But, Seth, that was only the first of many. I mean, then you get the press conference, and you got the kids, and you got being indignant about, you know, the offense struggling early, and then you get the comment about the fans booing and chastising the fans. I mean, it was a cascade of nonsense.
How'd you feel being reprimanded by Nick yesterday? Do you enjoy that?
You know, I don't really pay much attention to anything he says, to be honest with you. You know, the head coach and the two coordinators have press conferences every week. I oftentimes listen to what Vic Fangio has to say. Less and less I'm beginning to listen to what Kellen Moore has to say because I realize that his hands are being tied. Because when you look at this offense, it's very, very clear to me that this is not Kellen Moore's offense, that Nick Sirianni's got more of his hands on this than anything. And I guess his feeling is, hey.
Why do you think it's Nick Sirianni? Because I think there are some of us who think it's someone else.
Look at the offense. You're going to sit here and tell me that offense doesn't look like it did the last 6-7 weeks of last season? Come on.
And you don't think that's about Jalen? Because what John's alluding to is I think they're coaching around his deficiencies.
No.
And come back to a similar point.
No. Listen, when you call offensive plays, they call it offensive coordination for a reason, okay? You have multiple formations, and sometimes those formations are camouflaged. They're the same thing, but they're with different personnel groupings. And you're running sometimes the same plays out of, you know, similar formations with different personnel groupings. But there's no creativity to what we do. The most productive formation for us yesterday was 12 formation with twin tight ends to one side and two wide receivers to the other. Mm. And if I can see that with my football eyes, you're going to tell me that defensive coordinators who are paid millions of dollars to live this thing, you know, damn near 24/7, you're going to tell me that they can't see it?
Why is it when I watch the Detroit Lions offense with Jared Goff, who, you know, man, he really struggled for the longest time. They now have a teacher/offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, who is up for head coaching jobs, it seems like the last couple years, sticks around, keeps you know, everything stays status quo, and they've got crazy-looking plays, fun-looking plays. Like, it's Everything's on the table. They're throwing the kitchen sink at the Dallas Cowboys when they're up by 30 points yesterday. He doesn't care that he's using plays he's never used before because he knows he can just make up more. He's that gifted an offensive mind, and I hoped that was what we were in store for here in Philadelphia. It became clear very early on that that was not the case. But now what? You know, like,
John, don't get it confused, okay? Deep down inside, Jared Goff still is who he is. He still is the quarterback that they traded from the Rams to the Lions to get Stafford so that they can win because they knew they couldn't win with him, okay? You know what the greatest difference is? And nobody wants to talk about it. I've been harping for years. There's only one or two quarterbacks in this football league, in the National Football League, that can survive without a running game. It's simply, that's just a fact. The better you run the football, the better opportunity you give your quarterback to be successful. They drafted a running back in the first round, the Lions did, and everybody laughed at that draft. It then motivated Montgomery, who was stuck in Chicago forever. He looks like an all-pro running back right now. So when you run the football, now you've got a complete playbook that's wide open, and you can pull plays out of the air.
Seth,
to make them work.
We just don't
run the ball effectively, and we run the same damn running plays. We're going to run Saquon Barkley right up the middle, right up the middle, right up the middle. Where are your off guard, off tackle, outside plays to get him, to spring him? The plays that have actually worked where he's broken plays for long runs, they've been off tackle. But we keep running right up the middle. And you know what? Jalen's living in shotgun again. And when you live in shotgun, this is
what
happens.
Coming out of the bye.
The only way that you can run the ball out of shotgun is a quick toss to the side that he's offset to, or you got to hand him the ball going across the formation.
Yeah, okay? Like a cross buck.
So when you've got defensive tackles that are smart enough, or coordinators that are smart enough to see that in obvious pass rundowns, they're going to run games and penetrate to the side where he's going across to make him have to cut back. They're going to cut it off. They're not even smart enough to put him in. Put him under center. Put him in. The one time we were having this conversation while the game was going on before post game yesterday, I said they are bumping their head against the wall. I don't understand why they don't dot him. If you got to play him in the, you know, if you got to put Jalen in the shotgun, at least put the running back in the pistol. So now you give the defense some kind of variety. Yeah. We may run it right. We may run it left. The next play, they put Gainwell in the pistol, and they hand it off. He busts it for 19 yards. And they look at me, they're like, I'm trying to tell you. This ain't rocket science. I've been around this game too long.
Yeah.
And this thought that you're going to run it on first down, come out and throw it on second down every freaking time. If you go back and you look at the play-by-play, that's exactly what they did in the first half, the first quarter of that game. That's why they didn't do squat.
All right, let's get some calls in here. Seth with us in studio is here every Monday at this time for an entire hour. Drew in Westchester right now. Drew, good morning.
Hey, good morning, folks. So I'm going to start out saying I thought the Eagles were really bad yesterday. It was basically 3 hours of pulling teeth.
You know, it was also bad? The odds makers who had them as a 9.5-point favorite. I mean, they're just not good enough for that.
They're a 4-point favorite against the Giants.
Boy. All right, Drew, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, they just haven't blown a team out in forever.
Totally.
I don't know who could have expected them to cover.
The odds makers are not watching tape.
And it's really the betters.
They must be.
The betters took it up.
Clearly, they must be watching tape, but they're making major mistakes. I don't know why.
Let me tell you something. Let me have you guys step back for a second, okay?
Yep.
If you think about it, the defense played a hell of a game.
Sure did.
That blocked field goal at the end of the game, come on. That was the difference in them not covering.
Yeah.
Think about it.
No, that's fair.
Think about it.
That's fair.
And we get a double-digit win if the special team doesn't screw that up.
Yeah, but there's also this possibility. Just for what? No, that's fair, Seth. I'll just say this. If they miss a 57-yarder in a conventional way, which is possible, you know, Deshaun Watson's only got to go about 20 yards for his own field goal. I mean, I didn't like the decision because you're giving a bad offense the ball at midfield if you miss a 57-yarder.
No, listen, I have no problem with Jake Elliott kicking a 57-yard field goal.
Against a bad offense.
No, I don't. Not in that situation because, Joe, the points were too hard to come by. You had to get what you can get.
Yeah, and but for Cleveland also.
I understand that. But look, think about the games that we lost this year that we probably could be undefeated in. Well, with the exception of Tampa.
Sure, sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
The Atlanta game, we win that game if he takes the three early.
I know.
Okay, so the points are important. The most egregious thing was the third and three situation where they line up to bring a blitz. You got AJ by himself, one-on-one with a cornerback 8 yards off of him. Now, every game that I've turned on yesterday, I'm watching everybody's number one premier wide receiver. They got a third and short situation, and the cornerback's 7 to 8 yards off the ball. You know what they do? They raise up, they throw him the ball, they let him get the first down.
Easy first down.
Okay?
Yeah.
Why in the hell are we trying to, versus the blitz, and you see that we don't have enough in the box to pick it up. See, this is why I'm talking to you about the fact that this ain't Kellen Moore's offense. This is the same dumb stuff that Nick Sirianni was doing last year, and it's re-manifesting itself all over again when you watch the game. They got too many guys in the box. We can't pick it up. But what do? Instead of raising up, throwing AJ the slant or throwing him the quick ball outside, no, we ask Jalen to drop back and throw a nine route. I just don't understand. It's almost like they just don't learn.
What about the generalship of Jalen in that moment to just do that on his own? Shouldn't he know that?
Hey, listen, him and AJ got in trouble last year.
I know.
And had to stand up in front of the world and apologize for going rogue.
Yeah. All right, Drew, let me get back to Drew. He just called and we hijacked your phone call, buddy. Drew, go ahead.
All good, guys. So the main point of the call, one thing I did want to say was we're talking so much about, like, Sirianni's, like, antics and all. It's a little ironic to me that the guy who it seems like most people would like to be the coach – and Bill Belichick is not exactly known for media decorum or friendliness.
Yeah. Well, like, look, if you hire him, Drew, you're not hiring him for that. You're just not. You're hiring him to try to have 6 Super Bowl rings become 7. I mean, that's why you're hiring him.
Yeah, I get that. It just feels a little contradictory.
I know.
To me, of like, you kind of can't have it both ways. I don't know. Look, I think
he's not going to yell at people behind the bench or bring his kids up to a news conference.
No.
Pretty sure that
he did hire his son, who I don't think was a very good coach at one point. So he does things in different ways there. Yeah, I don't know. I'm obviously happy we won the game, but I feel like the rest of the season it's going to be a lot kind of like, you know, yesterday.
It's a slog. Look, this season is
grind it out. Yeah, and hopefully win more than we lose.
Correct. This is a root canal. You hope at the end of the root canal you have a better mouth. I mean, that's what we got. We got a root canal this year. So it's not fun. You're going to win sometimes. You're going to lose sometimes. And it's what it is.
You hope at the end of the root canal you have a better mouth? Have you had a root canal?
No.
Yeah.
No, you just want the pain gone.
What do I know about a root canal?
They're basically cutting the nerve off.
It's just a good analogy.
They're cutting the nerve off. You hope that you don't ever feel it again.
Yeah, there you go.
I kind of feel that way about Nick Sirianni.
Correct. Yeah. All right.
You wanted them to give Nick a root canal.
All right, Seth.
Nick is the root canal.
Seth, let me swing this to a massive positive. And I thought there was 2 main reasons why the Eagles won yesterday. A.J. Brown is remarkable. And the Cleveland Browns stink. I mean, I really would boil the game down that simplistically. Let's talk about A.J. Brown for a moment. So I remember asking you last year in the midst of his heater, sometime first 7, 8, 9 games. I know you were, you didn't see all of Harold Carmichael. I didn't see all of Harold Carmichael. But I know you saw and played with Mike Wick. You saw the whole T.O. thing. And you've seen the whole A.J. Brown thing, including up close the last 3 years now here. Last year you had Mike above the other two. Is AJ getting close in your mind for you to pass Mike Wick? Because I know in the last 40 years, we've been very, I mean, forget Deshaun and Fred Barnett. We've had some really, really good receivers, but like the top 3 in the last 40 years, clearly, are Mike Wick, Terrell Owens, and AJ Brown, who is just a stud. And then Harold before that. Can you talk about how great AJ is and whether he's getting close for you to be number 1 in that group?
No, not yet.
Still Mike?
But yeah. I mean, I've said it before, I'll say it again. If Mike Quick stays healthy, he's Jerry Rice status.
He was incredible.
That's just my opinion, because I got to see it up close and personal every single day throughout the first 5 years of my career.
Yeah. And no offensive line, so the ball couldn't get to him because there's no protection.
No.
It was a travesty. And then the knees. All right. Yeah. So how about AJ versus Terrell Owens? Most listeners are old enough to have seen both. I mean, let me put it this way. When you're in the Terrell Owens conversation, you're really freaking good.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is a baller, Seth. He saved their ass yesterday.
Terrell was faster. Terrell was bigger and faster than AJ, I think.
And he was a lot more aggressive. Listen, T.O. played with a defensive mindset. That's what set him apart. He played angry all the time.
Yes.
You know, AJ doesn't play that way.
Mm-hmm.
He was highly emotional. AJ doesn't play that way. AJ make a catch, and all you can see is white teeth shining underneath that visor. You know, T.O. never played that way. AJ plays with a lot of joy. T.O. played with a lot of anger, you know. And, I mean, sometimes, you know, that works for you because, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, that's the way I had to play. But AJ is just a special wide receiver. I mean, I watched him catch that ball against his chest yesterday, and the guy's trying to rip it out.
Yeah.
And I really never noticed how massive his hands are. It's like once he gets his hands on the ball, it's a wrap. Don't let him get both of them on there. You're not knocking that ball out. You're not punching the ball out from him. It's just, and then the early touchdown that he had early in the season where he actually ran away from guys,
yeah.
I was shocked.
Yeah.
Because I never really saw him.
I didn't realize he was that fast either.
Guy.
I thought he was more of a strength guy, like what you're talking about, the hand strength. Just look at him. He's built
totally
strong, like running back strong. I didn't realize he could outrun people like that. I mean, it looked like legit 4.3 looking speed, which I didn't know he had in
his
repertoire.
It's one of the reasons why, you know, I'm so perplexed sometimes why they don't use that. Because he's the perfect body type to run slants to get 3, 4, 5 yards every single time. Especially if a cornerback dares to get up and bump. Like, T.O. would beat the cornerback up off the line of scrimmage first. You know, these guys now, they just run their routes. They don't realize that, you know, if the cornerback has the ability to put his hands on you, then you have the ability to knock his hands off.
Sure.
And T.O. would beat cornerbacks up at the line of scrimmage.
Well, let me tell you, my favorite play T.O. ever had here, and he had a lot of great ones, obviously 04 primarily. My favorite T.O. play was 05. James, you'll remember this. When he caught the screen pass, it's like a little, you know, I don't know if screen's the right term. They just throw it to him against Champ Bailey. Donovan, boom. And he just removes Champ Bailey. He just removes him and then runs 91 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. I think it was 91. 90 or 91.
Him, like stiff arms him?
It was like a stiff
about?
Arm. It was like
he's running this way. He
wasn't even running.
The way he's going. And
he wasn't even running. He just, it's kind of like when Seth said earlier, if a receiver's open at the line, just throw it to him and let him create. Mm-hmm. Like, he just caught a ball at the line of scrimmage. Champ Bailey came up to tackle him. He just removed Champ Bailey and just ran right down the field for a touchdown. It was unbelievable.
See, wide receivers that are built that way, cornerbacks, the way that cornerbacks play now, especially if you're the type of wide receiver that pays attention to the details, when you throw a guy a route like that, there's only about four or five cornerbacks in the National Football League right now that will come up and aggressively tackle you. So when you throw that ball out there, it's like against Tampa Bay. When he kept raising up and throwing those balls out there to Mike Evans when our cornerbacks were 10 yards off,
yeah,
or out there to Chris Godwin, you know, our cornerbacks were back there tapping their feet, you know, because they didn't want to miss the tackle. But they also don't want the physicality as well. So when you look at that across the board, you got A.J. Brown, and you got a second and short, a third and short, and you line up and they're showing you blitz. There's no way you don't tell me. How do you not have that built into your offense? Or why hasn't A.J. and Jalen made the decision that, hey, if this is the look we get, we're going to take what the offense is giving us. what the defense is giving us, rather than trying to force the ball down the field every single time you see blitz coming.
All right. Good morning, all. Joe DeCameron, John Rich. It's not been exactly a great morning, which is ironic because the Eagles won yesterday, and they're 3-2, and Washington lost, and the Eagles are closer to the division. But, all right, James, I need a ruling.
I'm still
here.
Not convinced Washington's a worse team than we are.
Yeah, I don't.
Washington. They got Jaden Daniels. He looks really good. Yeah. They got a whole host of veteran, you know, talented veterans who've been around the block a few times and youth and. I don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah, we're going to see.
Be an interesting matchup later.
I don't like the way that feels.
I understand.
Matchup.
I get it. So, James, Godfather 2, Michael Corleone and what's his wife's name?
Kay.
They're in an argument in like a parlor or something, and he ends the conversation. Is the word enough or is the word over? Because this is what I feel like we're all trying to say to Sirianni with his antics. Which word is it?
Enough.
I think it's enough.
It's enough?
I think it is.
I need that on my drop board. Wechter! I need enough. I need Michael Corleone's enough on my drop board. So, Seth, I say that to say this to you. Yes or no, today, tomorrow, Wednesday, Jeffrey Lurie or Howie Roseman or both of them will tell Nick Sirianni regarding his antics. Enough. Yes or no?
Probably. Probably.
I hope so, man. I really do.
Can I say this? And I thought the most egregious thing was him bringing his kids up there as a shield because he knew he was going to get his ass hammered yesterday for what he did. And that's the last thing.
When you say for what he did, what exactly do you mean?
That little exchange when I saw it.
With the crowd?
Yes.
Okay.
So those kids were the deterrent. You're 3-2 on coaching a struggling team. You're not bringing them up there because, you know, you had this 40-point blowout, you know, and now you're headed to the Super Bowl.
I will say this. I see it a little different, Seth, because he's done it so many times. I think it's just par of the course for him.
Where have they been through the first 4 weeks?
I don't remember each game. Is it the first time this year?
Yes.
Okay.
They were a shield to shield the media from hammering him the way that they really should have yesterday.
It's hard for a media person to ask a tough question like, if you lost this game, would you get fired, while the two-year-old sitting
no
there.
No question, Rhea. No question, Rhea.
Thank you.
I mean,
I know.
He brought him up there as a shield. That's the truth, okay? And Jeffrey and Howie will deal with it however it is that they need to deal with it. Listen, let's talk about the game, man. You know, let's talk about the football that we saw.
Okay, what stood out to you? Let's talk about that. How about the defense?
Everybody, listen, I think Vic Fangio is in a spot where he realizes I've got to create the identity of my football team, what they're going to look like. And the first game he was aggressive, the second game he was passive. The next game he was aggressive, the next game he was passive. He was aggressive as hell yesterday. I was shocked at the amount of blitzes that he actually brought yesterday.
Is Cooper DeJean a big part of why he was being more aggressive?
No.
Got different personnel out there?
I just think that he realized he has to be. The cornerbacks were more aggressive. They played up and pressed a lot more. After us hearing last week, you know, Vic say, well, you know, I give my corners the option in man. They can play up or off. No, you don't. You tell them to get their asses up and jam. When you're getting sliced and diced by Baker Mayfield after the first series, I would have told him, either get your ass up and press in man coverage or you're coming off the field, plain and simple. You don't have the option to play 10 yards off and let them just complete pass after pass after pass. There was even an adjustment by C.J. Gardner-Johnson yesterday. He played off in blitz coverage and the tight end caught a ball on him, caught a first down. Later in the game, same scenario. Flipped the formation. He was up and pressed, got up on the guy. Now he's close enough to him to make a play on the ball and knocks the ball down in a fourth down situation. See, these are the small details that really matter to me. So the defense looked better. Of course, they don't have an offensive line, so you're going to get some pressure on Deshaun Watson, who probably is the most sacked quarterback in the National Football League. But I also saw some games. I also saw some creativity. I saw some different things that Vic Fangio hasn't done. And I'm going to say this on offense, because everybody, I know that you guys had a debate about whether it was Cleveland or whether it was just or Jalen just had a good day because he's playing against a lesser team. I'm going to say this. His numbers yesterday, in a lot of instances, we would have been very happy with. We weren't happy with how the game started, but I was happy with the way the offense played in the second half of the game.
It was much better. Yeah, it was. Okay? Much better.
There was a point in time he was 10 for 10. Nobody wants to talk about that. And we've harped, I don't know for how long, oh, well, he's got to cut down on the turnovers.
And
no
he did.
Turnovers. Nobody, and we're up here talking about, you know, something stupid that the head coach did. Let's talk about the fact that he threw for 265 yards yesterday, two touchdowns, and was probably, I think he only had like 9 incompletions yesterday. Let's talk about that.
Made a lot of really good decisions, not just in where to go with the football, but the pull reads and everything else. He ran the ball 14 times. He held up. That's a great sign for me.
And everybody wants to talk. Listen, it wasn't perfect. It wasn't perfect. But as ugly as it looked on both sides of the ball yesterday, it was a step in the right direction. And we've got a couple of winning opportunities here to kind of get things, you know, moving in the right direction for later on during the year, no matter how you look at it, no matter how you see it. You know, this is a process. And I talked about it in my post game yesterday. I said, listen, sometimes, you know, your quarterback, he's a delicate guy. You pay him a ton of money. But what they really need to do with Jalen is they need to put him in quarterback management mode and make him a game manager. Run the football, manage the game. Take the little short to intermediate routes, run the football efficiently, okay? And then when you get somewhat of a lead and you make a coordinator like Jim Schwartz, who does not like to blitz, you make him start to come, and now, boom, you got A.J. down the field. Boom, you got Devontae on a crossing route, you know, for a long touchdown because they got to play man coverage behind it. Stop trying to force things. Take what the defense is giving you until you force them to give you what you want. Now you can take your shots down the field.
I wish they ran it a little more. I'll say this. I mean, he's so forgotten at
he
this
ran
point.
It 14 but 14 times. Jalen ran.
No,
it
I know, but I mean regular runs. I really wish they would get this Shipley guy involved. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see three different backs get a chance. Obviously, Saquon the most. But
so
it's just,
Saquon ran the ball 12 times in the first half for 40-something yards yesterday. The problem is, it's the type of runs that they run. And it's how they run it sometimes. You almost can see this pattern. If they run the ball and they have success, they'll run it again. But if they run the ball in a series and they don't have success one or two times, then they let Jalen just throw the ball over.
Yeah. Impatient.
There's no commitment to it.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we didn't get anything that time. We're not going to run it again.
Yep.
And that is the stupidest thing that you can possibly do.
Yeah.
All right, let's get some calls in here. Time's yours in a few minutes. John in Allentown right now. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. It's an honor to be on with Seth Joyner and the Hammer at the same time.
Oh, but you're going to make Rich. How does Richie feel about that?
Hey, I love Richie too, man. But, you know,
What about Ray and Seltzer? School, you think they don't bleed?
Old school Eagles, baby. Old school Eagles.
You got it, man.
How's the camera, old school Eagles?
Yeah, really.
I'm talking about Seth, man. Come on.
I'll tell you how I was old school Eagles. In 1988, I was Buddy Ryan for Halloween. I was 10 years old.
Did you take pictures? Somebody has a picture.
Maybe. I mean, I'll look for it. I got to do a deep dive in my mom's photo albums. I will try to find that. All right, go ahead, buddy.
Listen, I have a few things to say. And I don't usually disagree with Seth, but there is one thing I disagree with. When they have success running, a lot of times, as soon as they have a little success, they abandon it. Like the very first play of the game, 6 yards. And then they go horrible pass after horrible pass. Like, how about we establish one thing first? Like Seth's saying, establish one thing first. And then force them to honor
I'll say this, though, John. Second and four is a great passing down. You know, because you got a lot you can do. I mean, first off, you can still convert on third down. Pretty good shot if you have an incompletion on second. You got a chance for chunk yards on second down with a pass. I mean, it's not unconventional, and I would not say it's dumb to pass on second and four.
I wouldn't mind them passing on second down if you ran play action off of it. because you just had success. You just got 6 yards running.
They
got
to get him under center, Seth.
So now the minute he sticks that ball out there, the linebackers are frozen, the tackles are frozen, the safeties are frozen. Now you can be able to get what you want. But they don't seem to want to run any kind of play action whatsoever.
It's impossible.
Their play action is off the read option.
No question.
Play action for a linebacker, there is no right way to play it. Like, it is so impossible to handle.
John,
you have to honor the run. Every time they fake that, every time he's under center and he's running 5 yards in the wrong direction, you have to be following him as a linebacker to honor that run.
I'm going
to
say this. In today's game, yes, because they don't read the linebacker's eyes on in the right place. The linebackers today are trained to read the quarterback and the running back, the two greatest liars on the offensive side of the ball. Where in my day, we always read the offensive line. Because if it's play action pass, the offensive line, they can't cross the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
So when they do that little vertical stretch and their shoulders are parallel or are horizontal to the line of scrimmage, right now I know that it's pass. So if I'm in man, I'm coming to get my guy right now. If it's zone, I'm getting depth right now so the tight end can't get behind me. Okay? If their shoulders are vertical to the line of scrimmage and they're doing that little stretch move, now I know they're trying to climb and they're trying to take real estate. Now I know I need to come downhill. Okay? But still, even more so today, when you stick that ball out there and you pull it back, listen, this is why Brock Purdy is so efficient. It's why Jared Goff is so proficient.
Yeah.
These teams that run play action pass off of their run game, they're all going to be right there at the
end. Here's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Here's where I'm at on everything we just discussed. If the Eagles ran a traditional play action under center play or a traditional screen pass to a running back, I think all of our televisions in the Delaware Valley would break because the TV wouldn't know how to handle it. It's been years. It's like, these are great.
These are
great plays.
It should be right there.
They're West Coast plays.
I do think they have to be in the offense. I think a big part of this is we haven't been successful enough with the offense this year to get around to running enough plays to where we've actually gotten to
these. It's incredible. All right, let's do what we do every single day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
All right, time's yours is brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with time's yours.
Another slow start. Another first quarter without any points. Against the battered and beaten Browns. Nick supposedly did all these things in a bye week. What exactly did he do? Because it looks like all he did was shave his damn head. Disgraceful.
Yeah, it was a bad start, man. It really was.
So you've got 2 weeks to prepare, and this is the game you come out with? I can speak for the many, many people who were there yesterday who echoed the same thing. It's not fun. It's not fun.
Well, you're not wrong, my man.
You really want to throw that one in the fans' face there, Nick? You were, what, like a 9.5-point favorite? You won by 4. You scored 20 points. Deshaun Watson's terrible, and I think he was 12-12 for about 130 yards at one point in the fourth quarter. You really want to stick your chest about this one? You're a clown. It's over. I'm out. Get rid of him.
Well, he's here for the year, but it was
so proud. He felt so proud of the performance or something.
It was very strange.
Why was there that disconnect?
Very strange.
I can't believe it. I thought the daycare was strictly for the Phillies. But now we got a coach that drags his kids into a press conference as a shield? You got to be kidding me.
Look, they should never have been there, and he should have known better.
I'm sitting here watching the Lions beat the out of the Cowboys. Coming off of the bye, we're coming off of the bye also, and we can barely beat the Browns. I hate to be down after a win, but I just can't help but think this team isn't a championship contender. I'm not happy. Sorry.
Well,
time's yours.
They're not as of now and probably won't be. Look, they could improve. They obviously have a shot. Teams do at times. But this team's got a long way to go. If you're talking about championship contender, they got a long way to go.
Yeah, we barely beat a terrible Browns team by 4 points. But look on the bright side. At the end of the day, Dallas sucks.
All right, the Lions are really, really good.
Yeah, or a little bit of both. And with that, time's yours. We shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
Right. Twitter poll question of the day is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, the all-new 2025 Equinox. It sets the bar on styling, and Armin Chevrolet has them in stock now. Together, let's drive to ArminChevy.com. All right, Seltzer, Rhea, Richie, Seth, and DeCamera.
You're talking to yourself?
I'm talking to myself. I need everyone's answer here. Because I got the poll results, but let's see where we vote. All right, the question is, what annoyed you more yesterday? Rhea, was it the ugly win versus a bad Browns team or Sirianni's conduct?
Sirianni's conduct.
Seltzer?
Sirianni.
Mr. Joyner?
The win. I don't care about Nick.
Okay. Richie?
It was Sirianni.
It's Sirianni for me as well. There's no question. All right, John, I have the poll results. How do you think people voted?
80% say Nick.
Agreed.
So it's 54% say Nick.
Wow. That's it?
Well, it goes to show you people didn't like the game either.
Yeah, it was tough.
Because you know what the city's saying to Nick Sirianni this morning? Does that come through well? That's Michael Corleone. It's so fast. Yeah. Let me try it again. Let me see if it works. All right, we're all saying to Nick Sirianni. It's a little, because he's slamming the table or something.
It doesn't work great, sadly.
Doesn't work. All right, we gave it a shot.
If you look,
here's what we could, real quick, we could have Larry Anderson talk to Nick Sirianni and say,
no excuse.
No excuse.
I mean, when you look at social media, I mean, they're just, everybody's going in on Nick. Yeah. It's unbelievable. I'm surprised it's only 50-something%.
Yeah. All right, Seth, next week against the Giants, I have concerns just because I don't think the Eagles are that good. How should we feel about it?
Listen, I feel good about the next couple of weeks. I just think this is a baby step thing, is what I said to the guys yesterday in postgame. I said, listen, it wasn't pretty, but, you know, our quarterback finally played a game, an efficient game where he didn't turn the football over. We got all our top guys back. We got some other injuries, but, you know, we were able to make some plays with those other guys in there. You know, it looks like, you know, some of the younger guys are going to get a chance to get on the field and play on the defensive side of the ball.
How do you like DeGene?
I love him.
Yeah.
Love him. I don't know that I want to keep looking at him returning kicks.
Well, especially if he catches the ball on the 4-yard line.
No,
that was nonsense.
He outkicked the coverage.
Yeah, but he didn't get past the 15.
I understand that.
He didn't get past the 15.
Guys got to block for him.
Don't catch the ball at the 4.
No. When you outkick the coverage that way, guys have got to block. It's not just on him to make something happen. I play special teams, Joe, and I'm telling you right now, when a guy breaks one, when a guy gets a good run, it's because he's got good blocking. It's not just because, you know, he catches the ball and he does everything. You know, and this is one of the things that plagues our return game in the kickoff and the punt return, is the guys don't freaking block.
Yeah, well, that is a problem. By the way, and we'll get in more of this tomorrow. I'll say here, John, we got to talk more tomorrow about, like, we don't know the status of Darius Slay, Jordan Mulata, and Dallas Goedert.
Yeah.
I mean, those are three injuries.
Darius Slay thing is positive after the game. Yeah.
But
no
two
crutches.
But two hamstrings, man.
The Mulata hamstring?
Holy
that's
mackerel.
Serious. That is serious. The way that he grabbed it, I'm very worried about the way that's going to
work. All right, Seth, I know on Friday night, you got a cool event coming up. Tell us about that.
It's actually on Saturday, I believe it is, the 18th. The 19th, out at Parks Raceway. There's this new league called the National Thoroughbred League. It's got 10 cities in this league. It's like a team horse racing deal. You know, Dr. J, Julius Irvin.
Ah, the doctor.
He's involved with the team that's here in Philly. It's called the Stallions. You've got Lamar Jackson actually, you know, is involved with the team. Nice. In Baltimore, they call the Baltimore Colts, if you can believe that.
Oh, that's great.
And then Kyler Murray is actually managing the team out in Arizona. So I just wanted to let the WIP listeners know, you know, these guys are, you know, good friends of mine, business associates of mine. They'll be out at Parks, you know, on Saturday. It's a great event. You guys will probably love it. If you want more information on it, go to www.ntl.racing.com. The event is Saturday, like I said, from 1 to 6 p.m. for all the horse racing lovers. And it's it's uniquely different. I can't wait to see it because a team horse racing league.
That's great.
Awesome.
Well, look, have fun with that. All right, everyone, have a wonderful rest of the day.